This lecture picks up two more topics that we haven't covered on hypothesis testing. One topic is two-sided tests, and the other topic is power. Two-sided test is actually a pretty easy concept. A typical hypothesis test has as the alternative either that the mean is greater than mu naught, that would be the mean under the null hypothesis, or the mean is less than the mean under the null hypothesis. So remember, the alternative is always an inequality. The null hypothesis is always an equality. Now, you could have the alternative simply be that mu does not equal mu naught. That means the alternative is that mu is either greater or less than mu naught, and because it could be either greater or less, it's called a two-sided alternative or a two-sided test. The difference is with a two-sided test, instead of comparing the p-value to alpha, you compare the p-value to alpha over 2. Why do we do that? Remember the significance level, which is alpha, is the probability of making a type 1 error. Now, when you have a one-sided test, all that probability is on one side. And so, so you just take alpha as the probability of type 1 error is just alpha. It's because that's the percentile that you're looking for. Let's say if you set alpha equal to 0.05 and you have a 5% probability of making a type 1 error, and you look on the either the right side or the left side of the normal table and say, all right, let's take the highest 5% or the lowest 5%, depending on whether it's a greater than or a less than, as the alternative. Now, when we have a two-sided alternative, you can make a type 1 error on either side. And so we take that same 5% and we split it up into the upper 2.5% and the lower 2.5%. So that's why we end up comparing the p-value to alpha over 2 when it's a two-sided test. Not something to worry about a whole lot in practice. It's not a big deal. The implication is that for a given significance level, it's harder to reject the null hypothesis against a two-sided alternative. So it's a little easier to reject it against a one-sided alternative. But that's, again, not a really important point. Okay, the next topic is power. The power of a test is something that's actually important in statistical practice. It's sort of considered a slightly advanced topic for AP statistics. There might be a question or two on it in the multiple choice, but they usually don't make a big deal of it in the free response questions. But it's an important topic to at least try to think through. It's a little tedious to calculate, but it's really not hard. The whole calculation process for power really isn't any more difficult than than anything we've encountered so far. It's just tedious. Okay, power relates to type 2 error, so it's a way of measuring your probability of type 2 error. But if we let beta be the probability of type 2 error, then power is 1 minus beta, so that higher power is better. So with significance, the lower the significance level that we set, the lower the value of alpha, the harder we're being on ourselves, the lower the probability of type 1 error. So in some sense, a lower significance level is better. Being able to reject a hypothesis at a lower significance level is better evidence than only being able to reject it at a higher significance level. So if you can reject it, if the p-value is less than 0.05, that's stronger evidence than if the p-value is less than 0.10 but greater than 0.05. Power, the way it's measured, because it's measured as 1 minus the probability of type 2 error, a higher power is better. So the highest the power could possibly be is 0.99999. The lowest it could be is close to zero. And the higher the number, the better off you are. Generally speaking, for a given method of conducting an experiment or conducting a study, there are two ways to increase power. One way is to set a higher significance level. If you set alpha equal to 0.1, you will have higher power than if you set alpha equal to 0.05. But that's not really a good idea, because what you're doing there is you're giving yourself a higher probability of type 1 error as a way of reducing the probability of type 2 error. That's not really an improvement in the study. The alternative is to raise the sample size. So if you have a higher sample size, you'll reduce the probability of both type 1 and type 2 errors. So you'll be able to increase the power without sacrificing anything in terms of the significance level. Okay, the next point is that power can only be computed against a specific alternative, not against an inequality. So remember, we always start out with an alternative that's an inequality. So the HA, the alternative hypothesis, we always start out with is an inequality. But when we calculate power, we calculate power only against a specific alternative hypothesis. Okay, so maybe it'll be easier to understand if we go through an example. But the steps in computing power are, first, we pretend that the null hypothesis is true. Now, in fact, we always pretend that the null hypothesis is true as the first step in hypothesis testing. That is, we pretend that the null hypothesis is true, and then we say, well, what's the probability that we would have observed our sample results if the null hypothesis were true? So we're just doing that same thing. We're pretending that the null hypothesis is true, but what we want to do is locate in terms of natural units, the cutoff point where we would just fail to reject the null hypothesis. Okay, and we'll call this point X star. Now we'll move on to step two. Now we pretend that the alternative hypothesis is true. Okay, so we pretend that alternative hypothesis is true and pretend that we got the value X star from our sample data, and we find the p value associated with X star. This then becomes beta, or 1 minus the power. So let's work it through an example. Suppose we wanted to test the hypothesis that the mean weight of NFL linebackers today is the same as it was 10 years ago, against the specific alternative hypothesis that the mean weight is 5 pounds higher. Take it as given that our significance level is 5%, and suppose that the mean weight 10 years ago was 238 pounds. So our null hypothesis is that the weight will be 238 pounds in our sample. Suppose that we know the standard deviation is 8 pounds. Finally, suppose we take a sample of 16 linebackers today. Okay, so first we pretend the null hypothesis is true, and we find the cutoff point X star. The null hypothesis is that mu is equal to 238, and the alternative is that it's greater. To find X star, we first take the INS norm of 0.05, gives us 1.64. That's our z units. And now to find X, we'll use the z transformation. So we take 1.64 is equal to X star minus 238 over standard deviation over the square of the sample size, or 8 over the square root of 16. And that gives us, when we do the calculation, of an X star is equal to 241.28. Okay, what that means is, using a 5% significance level, if we find a mean weight in our sample that's less than 241.28, we will fail to reject. And if it's greater than 241.28, we will reject the null hypothesis. So that's our critical point. Okay, now we forget about the null hypothesis, the 238. And what we want to do is imagine that we got the sample result of X star, 241.28, only instead pretend that the hypothesis that's true is the alternative, the one where the mean weight is 243. That's going to be our specific alternative hypothesis, that the alternative is that the mean weight is 243. Remember, our specific alternative was that the weight now is 5 pounds higher, so 5 pounds over 238 is 243. Okay, so we pretend that that's true, and then we also pretend that we got in our sample the value X star of 241.28, and now we calculate a p value based on the assumption that the true mean is 243. So using the z transformation, we get 241.28 minus 243, again divided by the standard deviation divided by the square root of the sample size. And that gives us a z value of negative 0.96, and we take the ins norm of that and get 0.17, so that, and we take 1 minus 0.17 to get the power, which is 0.83. Okay, again, it's tedious, but it's not a really difficult calculation. We just have to do the steps in order. First, pretend the null hypothesis is true and find a cutoff point. Now we ignore the null hypothesis and we say, suppose we got that cutoff point in our sample as our sample result, and we were trying to find the p-value of that relative to the alternative hypothesis. And then we take that p-value and we take 1 minus that, and that turns out to be the power. So it's, again, it's tedious, but it's not really all that complicated.